Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the radio show with Cindy Sharp.
Cindy Sharp.
You know the girl. She's all heart.
So full of heart.
She got your back.
Yeah.
Helping you to let go of the lack.
Let go of that lack.
Yeah. That's what sharpening your spirit radio is for. Okay, sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, and show yourself and heal others starting today. It's your home. Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others.
That is right. Accept yourself and heal others starting today. Welcome to the Sharpening Your Spirit Radio Show. This is your host and your coach, Cindy Sharp. And you know what we do here. We love you up. And we invite you in to a place where you are loved and you are honored for just the person that you are. And today we have a very special show for you, an amazing doctor that is going to be sharing his story, which is quite amazing. And I think it will certainly open many hearts just by hearing about his amazing story. But before we get to that, let's just talk really quickly about what we do here at the Sharpen Your Spirit radio show, because we want to make sure that you know a little bit about us if this is your first time here. And if it is, or you're a longtime listener, thank you for stopping in. So we do a couple of different things. We do two shows. The show that we're doing today, which is called The Messenger. And The Messenger is that there are people here in this amazing on this amazing earth that have decided to step out in their life in a big way and to support others and to help others and to share their message of healing and their message of maybe struggle to triumph, to help others shift, to help others open their heart and to help others to live a bigger, more loving life. And our doctor that we have on today, Dr. Reggie Paydean, I want to make sure I say that right, Dr. Reggie Paydean, is going to be sharing a message that will certainly open your heart. And so the other show that we do, and he'll be on in just a minute, don't worry, we're not going to forget him, he's coming right on. The other show that we do here is called 15 Minutes to Thrive to Keep Your Spiritual Mission Alive, and that is, if you are in a place in your life that you're ready to step out and be a messenger, you're ready to do something in your life that is ready to, you know, maybe overcome some of the things that you've had happen in your life, maybe some of your limitations, and you're ready to open up your heart in a big, beautiful, spiritual way and really live up to your God-given potential, we here at the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show just love to support that. We love to support that. So that's 15 minutes, and I do that show just by myself, and it's 15 minutes of good, down, dirty, loving information for your spiritual business to get you moving in a great way, and that is a once-a-week program. And you can find both of these at sharpeningyourspirit.com or Blog Talk Radio. And just look for the Sharpen Your Spirit radio show and follow us, and you'll get all of our little shows. So that is fantastic. So let me tell you a little bit about this amazing gentleman that we have on today, because he's very unique. Matter of fact, he has gone from a dropout to a doctor. And what he says is that by shifting his mindset, and that it really changed the trajectory of his life. He says he went from dropout to doctor, from poverty to plenty, and from a job that he hated to an amazing, open, loving career. So Dr. Reggie R. Paydean is the dean of the corporate university for a multi-million dollar corporation in Miami, Florida, and has been working on the concept of this book for about 7 years. Which, hey, if he's been working on this book for 7 years, you know he put his whole heart and soul into it. But he waited until he graduated with his Doctor of Education degree. So let me tell you a little bit about the book, because this book is so amazing, and I think that you're all going to want to know about this book, because it really is one of those triumphant stories. And this is his first book, and it's called Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. And Dr. Padin narrates how he went from being a high school dropout, working for pennies, hauling garbage by hand out of a dumpster, to becoming a successful educator, an author, an entrepreneur, an executive coach, and a spiritual leader. He shows how anyone experiencing dumpster moments can do the same. And hey, listeners, haven't we all had our dumpster moments? So I'm sure you have. I know I've had my own dumpster moments. So just hearing this story is going to be a big inspiration for us today. He's going to help people face some of their fears, their doubts, and their confusion, and shift that to a more higher loving level. So with no more further ado, let's get Dr. Padin on the show and ask him a few amazing questions about this book that we just can't wait to read. Hi, Reggie. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. I'm so glad to be in your program.
I'm so excited to have you. And you have quite an interesting backstory, and I'm dying to hear more about it, of course. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, and how did you go from, you know, your dumpster moments to becoming a doctor? Because, boy, that's pretty amazing. It leaves me speechless, because that's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
share with our listeners about it.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's certainly a journey, and it's really a journey about not giving up, about really focusing on what your purpose in life is and devoting yourself completely to it, no matter what comes your way, no matter how long it takes, no matter how much, you know, sleepless nights and sweat, blood, and tears you have to endure in order to really achieve your goal. That is my story. I mean, I as a young man, I made several mistakes. Perhaps the biggest mistake I made was dropping out of high school. And you know, when you don't have an education in an economy like ours, it's very difficult to find, you know, good employment. And so there I was, a high school dropout. I married very young. I married my high school sweetheart. Had a child right away, and now I had to feed, you know, myself and two other mouths, and I didn't have an education. And so the story really, I bounced around from odd job to odd job, and I finally found what I thought was a more stable job for a company, and I was working as a janitor for that company. But little did I know that the company was actually going out of business. And so, as any company going out of business, they have to look for ways to cut costs. And one of the places they cut was the waste management company. So that meant that the big truck was not coming to the company to pick up the garbage anymore. And so my boss called me into his office one day and said, "Hey, I need you to go get one of our company trucks and back it up to every single dumpster around the company. I want you to get inside the dumpster and haul every last piece of garbage out of there by hand, put it in the back of the truck, and drive it to the landfill and drop it there." And so that was my job. Now, I don't know if you or any of your audience members has ever walked by a dumpster in the middle of the summer. It's not a pleasant situation. Now, imagine being chest deep inside a dumpster in the middle of the summer. And
oh, my gosh.
So, I had a wake up call. That for sure was a wake up call. I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't happy with, you know, my spirit was broken. My self esteem was gone. I felt like a loser. I felt like I was not going to provide any a good future to my wife and to my young son. And so I decided to do something about it. And so the story, which is I would like to say it's two decades in the making. It's the story of how I was able to get out of that dumpster and begin the journey to, you know, all the way to becoming a doctor of education, having a wonderful career, you know, being able to help other people overcome their limitations. And really I found that, you know, that original dumpster was only one of many dumpsters that I would have to face in my life, and the many dumpsters that a lot of people have to face as well. And so the book is hopefully a guide to help people overcome their limitations, no matter what they look like, no matter what they are. So that's, in a nutshell, that's basically my story.
I love that because, you know, all of us have had, I said this in the introduction, my God, we have all had dumpster moments. We have all had our moments. Now, I might say I've never been in the middle of a summer knee-deep in a real dumpster, but we've all had our moments where we've tripped,
yeah,
or we've fallen or we've made terrible mistakes, whether, you know, it was high school or, you know, something else. And
sure.
So I know people really, really relate to that. But, you know, one thing that you say and that you bring out in your book is that there are different types of dumpster moments. So can I thank you so much for sharing with us your dumpster moment, and I'm sure,
yeah,
I'm sure that was absolutely horrible, especially you were pretty young at that time. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was, I was in my second, I dropped out of high school after my second year of high school. So I was going into my third, and so, you know, I was, 17 years old when I dropped out.
Right.
And so I was 17, married when I was 18. My son was born when I was 19. And so it was pretty quickly. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because it's true. Everybody faces dumpster moments. And I found that some of the most difficult dumpster moments that I've had to really come out of have been other dumpster moments, you know, other than the original dumpster that I had to come out. And so people face, fears that paralyze them. And you know, fear is one of those things that will paralyze you for a couple of hours, a couple of minutes, or a whole lifetime. It's really up to us to snap out of that fear that paralyzes us. You know, self-doubt is another dumpster moment that a lot of people face, and that comes from really sometimes the way we've been programmed in our lives. You know, I like to say that, you know, when we're born and we're children, we have all the optimism and possibility in the world until we start, you know, dealing with grown-ups. You know, we start dealing with parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and ministers and teachers. And you know, a lot of those people that we look up to begin telling us, well, you know, that's not really realistic. No, you shouldn't really pursue that. Maybe you should become this. Maybe you should do that instead. And it really pulls us away from what we originally were intended to be. And I know that, you know, they have the best intentions in the world, but sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes it's a spiritual dumpster that we're in. We're just in a rut spiritually. We're not, you know, we're into ourselves. We're not giving into our fellow, you know, humanity. We're not, you know, fulfilling our God-given potential. We're not giving back into our communities. Sometimes it's the relationships that we're in. So there are many dumpsters, and we can't avoid them. You know, everybody has to face them. I'm not saying that it's a dumpster moment can be a great university, actually. It's what we do with those dumpster moments that will determine whether or not we're going to reach a higher level and reach our potential.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you just brought up something so important, which, you know, which I mentioned, is that everybody's going to have one of these dumpster moments. You know, one thing that I'd like to know is, what do you think really kind of leads to having a dumpster moment? I mean, what gets us to that place where we choose the dumpster over something bigger? Is it mostly just fear?
No, I think what leads to dumpster moments is a lack of purpose. When we lose a sense of purpose in our lives, then we start doubting, we start, you know, wondering, we start, you know, going in every sorts of directions. We start making mistakes that we shouldn't. We're trying to find, you know, perhaps an alternative to that purpose. And we don't live out that purpose for many reasons. You know, again, it could be self-doubt, it could be fear, it could be, you know, some of the decisions that we make. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, I was, I think I was young enough to snap out of that situation and really pursue what I felt that I had to, what I was meant for, which is, in my case, you know, I found early on that what I really wanted to do was help people. And you know, I remember driving back from the landfill one day back to the company, and I you know, I was feeling horrible about myself, and I had a pity party there in that truck. And then I had to like snap out of it and say, well, you know, what are you going to do about it? And right there and then I said, I'm going to use this negative experience to help other people overcome their negative experiences. And it was right there that I decided to embark on the journey to, you know, in my case, you know, I wanted to teach, I wanted to coach, I wanted to do that at the highest possible level. And so that meant I needed to become a doctor. And so I'm not saying that everybody has to follow the same road, or, you know, that everybody has to become a doctor or get a doctorate. It's going to look differently for different people. In my case, that's what I needed to do. And but when we lose purpose, we're going to end in a dumpster. I mean, no doubt about it. The closer that we are walking to our purpose, we still will face dumpster moments, but we'll be able to get out of them because we have a purpose. We know where we're heading. We know what we want to do, and we just focus on that possibility instead of the problem that we're facing in that moment.
Well, you know what's fantastic about that is that, you know, as I'm kind of a visual girl, and I think lots of people are, and that is as a educator, you probably know that, you know, lots of people are learn visually. And as you were telling the story of leaving, you know, and being in your truck, and you're not feeling good about yourself, you know, I could just kind of visually see that whole thing. And then you know, making the decision that you went from that, and obviously there was lots of things in between till the time where you became a doctor. So to do something big like that, you have to really reprogram your mind. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
That's a big shift. How did you do that?
You know, absolutely, because the reason we end up in dumpster moments is that we you know, our mind, we believe the lies that we tell ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, you know, that's an impossibility. I have to be realistic. And we start believing these things instead of the purpose of our lives. And so we have to completely reprogram our minds. I mean, I tell people it's almost like inputting a new operating system into your mind. You know, the old operating system no longer will do in the direction that you're going to be heading. It was probably okay for that moment in time, but you're going to have to do things differently in order to get to the place where you want to get to. Or it's like pretend like you're a landlord and you have this beautiful property and you interview what look to be very good tenants until they move in. And once they move in, they stop paying their rent. They start destroying your property. That is the negative mentality that we have to kick out. In order to replace the bad tenants, you know, we got to kick those suckers out. We have to, in order to replace them with good tenants, we have to get those old thoughts out. And that takes time. You know, in my case, it took a lot of reinforcement. It took, you know, accepting responsibility for my own life, understanding that it was my own action that brought me to that place of that dumpster. And so I had to take responsibility. I had to reprogram my mind by reading the right things and listening to the right things and following the right people and surrounding myself by, you know, with the people who were going to be supportive in my journey. You know, I didn't have all the answers when I first started. But all I knew was that I needed to replace the old with something better, with something new. And that takes time. It takes dedication. It takes discipline. It's not going to happen overnight. Even now, 20 plus years later, I still catch myself from time to time, having the tendency of feeling sorry about myself or I have to snap out of it. I said, no, I have to do something about that. And that's where you really empower yourself to achieve something greater than what you've been able to achieve up to that point.
Absolutely. And it's amazing what fear and doubt can really do. And I love the fact that you have so much integrity to share the fact that still today doubt creeps in, because
sure.
I think sometimes, people maybe listen to these podcasts and they think, oh, how amazing, we have this wonderful doctor on here today. And of course we think, in this kind of idealistic way about what that means. And I think the fact that you share, gosh, you're just a human like the rest of us, and you've gone through your struggles, and you still today have to tune yourself up from time to time to keep you on that passionate path.
Well, but there's something even more, there's something scientific about it. And this is, my doctorate is in education. And there's something about when we learn something, there's actually something chemical happening in our brains, and that behavior, that habit, those thoughts actually get like seared in our brains, and they never leave. They're always there. And so that is the you've heard the proverb, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's where it comes from. That once we learn a certain pattern, a certain behavior, it always stays with us. And so the only way to overcome that is by replacing it with something else that becomes stronger than that. But those tendencies will be there for the rest of your life. The fear, the self-doubt, the whatever tendencies, negative tendencies you had, will always remain there. It's just a matter of now monitoring, being honest with yourself and monitoring your thoughts constantly. And whenever that old thought tries to creep in, you reinforce it with the thought that you want to replace it with. It's a very interesting dynamic how the way the human brain works, especially for adults. That it's really replacing the old with the new, but the old never leaves. It'll always be there. If you see the cover of my book, it's this very successful businessman in a suit overlooking into the city, but that dumpster is right behind him. The dumpster never leaves you. It's always following you. But it's up to you whether or not you're gonna get yourself back in there and allow the dumpster to win in your life.
That's amazing. I love the fact that you share that, because a lot of times, I'm just gonna say it like it is. We hear a bunch of woo-woo stuff about how we can just snap our fingers and change our thoughts, and snap our fingers and change our life. And I like the fact that it's an ongoing process, because it's more real. And I think people can deal better with the real than they run out there and think, oh, if I do this and I do that, bam,
right,
I'm going to, land on my feet. And then they get disappointed because it doesn't work the way they thought. So thank you for saying that. One thing that you talk about, and I think, the change in the thoughts is probably one of them, but you have 5 steps to take positive action. So that would be 5 steps to get you out of that dumpster and living a more loving life. Can you share with us what those are?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but before we do that, it's something that I want to really emphasize to your audience. And I'm not sure, I don't know much about your audience. there's a, and it goes back to what you said earlier. You know, there's a tendency that if we fall and we make a mistake, the tendency is to want to give up. Well, that didn't work. And so people say, well, I tried it, it didn't work, and so they give up. They don't try anymore. And so what I tell people is, look, embrace failure. Failure is actually good. And so that's a change in mindset, because we've been taught that failure is bad. But failure is actually good. Now, I don't want you to think that, you know, you're going to make the, you know, I don't want you to fail in a big way. Actually, that's why it's so important to learn from other people, to become wise, to learn from other people's mistakes in order not to make the same mistakes. But if you make a mistake, I want you to embrace it. I want you to decide that I'm gonna learn from this. You know, one of the most successful people in the world, the most successful business people and athletes have failed multiple times. And they've become successful because of those failures. So, you know, I just want people to understand, look, if you fail, that's okay. Dust yourself up and try again. I got the privilege that very few people have. I met one of the richest men in the world, Carlos Slim. And this gentleman, you know, I got to ask the question. I said, you know, what's made the difference in your companies? Because he's built these multi-billion-dollar companies. He's anywhere between the first and sixth richest man in the world, depending on the week. And he said, you know, the reason why I've been able to build these successful companies is because I encourage people to make mistakes. Now, think about that. I encourage people to make mistakes. Now, he said,
that's a really good, you know, a good thing to hear, because I think people do believe that, you know, if they make a mistake, they do get into that kind of woe is me, oh my gosh, it didn't work, but then they don't try again. And to know that, you know, one of the best advice that you've gotten in your life, which was from a very good person to get advice from, said that to make a mistake is,
yes,
you know, is a good thing, and to honor that mistake is what you said.
Right, and learn from it. And if you're making a mistake, that means you're trying. If you're
right,
not making
exactly
a mistake, that means that you're static and you're stuck and you're not doing it. And that's what I tell people, you know, the most expensive piece of real estate that we have in this world are not the beachfront properties right here in Miami, or out looking in the Pacific, or, you know, no, the most expensive piece of real estate are the cemeteries, because they are full with people who went to their graves with their ideas, with their dreams, with their purpose, with the books they were supposed to write, with the songs they were supposed to, you know, compose, with the cure to a disease. Because they went to the grave with a solution to a particular problem. Those are the
Absolutely.
Most expensive pieces of real estate. And so I tell people,
Absolutely.
Look, try. And so let me go back to your original question. And, you know, I'd say that the way to do something is you have to take action. And to take action, you have to start wherever you are. Yeah, a lot of people expect to be, well, whenever I'm in, you know, whenever I achieve this, then I'll start. Whenever I have the cash, then I'll start. Whenever I have the perfect, you know, partner, I'll start. No, I want people to start wherever they are right now. Wherever you are, whatever you have in your hand right now, I want you to use that. Again, look, I don't know who your audience is, but I'm a very spiritual person, and you know, part of my first half of my career I was an ordained minister. I'm still an ordained minister. I'm just not a practicing ordained minister. And I believe that we're on this earth for a reason, for a purpose.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
So,
our listeners absolutely love this, Reggie. So please share.
So
please share. They do love this.
You can, You can label it however you want. You know, in my case, I believe it is God. You label it however you need to label it. But I believe that in my case, God has placed me here for a reason, for a purpose. And so I'm gonna go in that direction. I'm gonna trust my gut. Okay, and, you know, I'm gonna try to tune into my spirit, and you know. And this is not very far-fetched. One of the most successful people in the world was the late Steve Jobs, who started the little company by the name of Apple.
Right.
And he gave a commencement speech at Stanford, and he's talking to his graduating class, and he said, look, you have to trust in something. You have to trust in your gut. You have to trust in God and karma, whatever. Because that is ultimately, at the end of the day, what's going to carry you forward. And so if it was good enough for Steve Jobs and a lot of other very successful people, I think it's good enough for me. You know, I tell people, you know, visualize a positive outlook and a positive possibility in your life. Because, you know, we focus on the what if. You know, what if I fail? What if, you know, I don't, you know. I remember that one of the biggest things that kept me from writing a book, number one, was that I never felt that I had enough credibility. And so I remember finishing my GED and thinking about the book or thinking about how to communicate that. But no, I just got my GED. And then, you know, I went to college and I got a bachelor's. Well, this is just a bachelor's. And then, you know, I got my first master's and then my second master's, and I finished my doctorate. And I could have kept, you know, making up excuses as to why I shouldn't write the book, because I didn't feel adequate enough to deliver the message. And so we focus on those things, and I tell people, look, instead focus on the possibility. Instead of thinking, well, nobody's going to like my book, I could say, well, you know what, at least my words, my message will outlive me. And that was one of the most fascinating things for me of publishing a book, is that, you know, once I'm gone, you know, this will potentially somebody, you know, 50, 100 years from now will be able to pick up the book and at least maybe be inspired by my words. So it'll outlive
me. Absolutely.
So keep a positive image of your future in your mind. Then I tell people, just go for it. Go, and, you know, I use a terminology called beast mode. And that is where you really focus so much on what it is that you want, that you tune out all the negativity, you tune out all the naysayers, you tune out all the fear, and you just, in faith and in true belief, you just go for it. And then I tell people, you know, you have to wash, rinse, and repeat. Those steps you do over and over and over and over again. And what happens is that with time, it may not feel natural at first, but in time, with time, you're going to grow. You're going to accomplish more. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be able to do a lot more. I can do so much more today than I did when I was just coming out of that dumpster. And it happened because of repetition, 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 and in a constant pursuit of what I felt my purpose was.
That is absolutely amazing, you know, and I know that the listeners are learning and loving hearing about how they can come to their own potential through not only your story, but through the steps and through some of the wonderful things that you shared. So I want to say thank you so much for all these beautiful things. We actually are a little bit late, but I'm letting it go over because this message is such a good message. And Reggie, I just can't thank you enough for showing up today, but sharing the fact that you had this story from dropout to doctor, and that you have this book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. And is there anything, you know, as we're, you know, winding down in the next minute or two here, is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with? I'm going to tell them how to get the book, and if you want to share a little bit about that, that's wonderful too.
Yeah. I mean, what I tell people is that once you figure out your purpose, limitations are nothing but an illusion. Nothing can stand in your way. nothing will be able to stop you. You can only stop yourself if you allow those limitations, those mental blocks, those spiritual blocks to stop you from reaching your full potential. So I tell people, look, you're limitless. You can accomplish so much more if you really believe in the purpose of your life and in the possibilities of what you can bring to this world. And so live it out, and you'll see, you'll surprise yourself, and you'll surprise other people around you.
You're limitless. That is absolutely a beautiful way to end our show today. And I want to say thank you so much to you, Reggie, for coming on. And I want to make sure all the listeners know, not only is this book obviously has a great story of somebody, you know, going from their own limitations to becoming limitless. Obviously, Dr. Reggie Padin has an immensely great message with some steps to really show you how you can move through your own limitations. So the book is Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations, and you can get that at reggiepadin.com, and I want to tell you how that's spelled. It's R-E-G-G-I-E, Padin is P-A-D-I-N.com, and you can go right on over there and pick up his book. So, Reggie, I'd like to thank you again so much for sharing this masterful information today and sharing your story in such a heartfelt way and being so open with us. You certainly are an inspiration to thousands of people, I'm sure. And I thank you for you overcoming your limitations and you getting out of the dumpster and telling us your life story, because I know it's going to inspire many.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's truly, truly an honor and a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, everybody, that is our show. But before I leave, I want to say this one more time. The name of Reggie's book is Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. And to purchase that book, it's reggiepadin.com, R-E-G-G-I-E-P-A-D-I-N.com. Go over and pick up that book, because I think you're going to find it's going to have a big shift, not only with the story, but also with some of the steps that he shared with us today that he goes deeper on in deeper levels. So thank you again to Dr. Reggie Padin. Thank you, listeners, for showing up in such a big, beautiful way. You know how this show ends. I say love, light, and a big kiss, and hey, have a great week, and make sure you get your message out there this week. Be inspired. Move forward. Open your heart with love. Have a beautiful day. Bye, everybody.